when we anticipate a special day in the Jewish calendar, and as we know that every special time in the Jewish calendar is not only a celebration of past events, but rather each time that the day of the year recurs, whatever special revelation that's associated with that day repeats itself, and not only repeats itself, but the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya that each year it repeats itself, it draws down a whole new light. So when we prepare ourselves for a significant day in the Jewish calendar, and particularly a significant day in the Hasidic calendar, which Hasidus is the revelation of Pnimius HaTera, so obviously the preparations for a significant day in the Hasidic calendar have to be very much Pnimius Digger preparation, internal preparation. Obviously we have no specific mitzvahs associated with a Hasidic Yom Tov. On the regular Yom Tov, we eat matzah, we go in the sukkah, there are Gashmi sticker preparations. But on the Chassidus Yom Tov, the preparations, the significance of the day is primarily Beruchnias, and the preparations are also primarily Pnimi sticker, internal preparations. When we talk about preparing ourselves, we talk about making the internal adjustments in order to be ready to receive the revelation of that day. Obviously, when we talk about Chav Beis Shvat, in general, every part of our Avodah nowadays has to be with the awareness that the Rebbe said that there's only one Avodah that remains. The only one Avodah that remains in the Kuntres Chayas Sarah Tavshin and Beis that the Rebbe gave, the Sikha that Rebbe spoke to the Shluchim by the Kenes HaShluchim, which the Rebbe said applies to each and every Jew who is a Shliach. The Rebbe said at that time that the only Avodah which remains, that we have already passed the beginning of the Shluchas, the middle of the Shluchas, the end of the Shluchas, and the only Avodah that remains is the Avodah of preparing to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu B'Peil Mamash. Actually, the Rebbe says to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu B'Peil Mamash, and later the Rebbe talks in terms of the preparations that are necessary. So obviously, any significant date and anything, any Avodah that we're involved in has to be approached in the context of what the Rebbe describes as the only Avodah which remains. That means every aspect of every activity has to be permeated with the awareness that it's all part of this final Avodah. However, this is even more so when we talk about Chav Beis Shvat. Because in the Sikha that the Rebbe spoke to the Shluchais, which was only a month or two later, Shadish Kislev, Tevis, 2.5 months later, the Rebbe spoke in terms that this final step, the final step that we can already say that we've already polished the buttons, and we've already finished whatever we were intended to accomplish here in exile, has already been completed, and the only thing is that's left is to stand at the ready, to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu. The Rebbe says the time that happened, when we could say that the buttons are already polished, and the only thing left is to stand at the ready, is Chav Beis Shvat, Tavshin Mem Ches. The Chav Beis Shvat is the turning point, the point when this final Avodah began, even though it didn't become as clear until Tavshin Mem Beis that this is what was left to be done. The Rebbe alluded to, the Rebbe referred to, it wasn't until Tavshin Mem Beis, Nun Aleph and Nun Beis, that the Rebbe spoke clearly and said, this is the only thing left. But the fact is that at that point is when it had already begun. So what does it mean? So we have to understand, what is this Avodah which at the time that the Rebbe said in Tavshin and Beis is already 4 years after Chav Beis Shvat Tavshin and Ches. So when the Rebbe spoke about it, he spoke about it already 4 years after the day. And now, sadly to say, we're another 8 years later. What is this job, standing at the ready to be Mekabel Panei Mashiach Tzidkenu Mepeil Mamash, what is it that takes so long? If you just look at it very superficially, you would think that it's really no big deal. If being ready to greet Mashiach means putting a sign on your door that says Welcome Mashiach, so you would think that basically it's an avoda which takes approximately 60 seconds or less. It might take a little longer because you have to go buy the sign or write the sign. But if being Mekabel Panei Mashiach Tzidkenu Mepeil Mamash means putting a sign on your door saying welcome, so you would think that it wouldn't take 12 years, it wouldn't take 4 years for the Rebbe to develop the concept and express it in an open way, and we wouldn't still be here another 8 years later. Now, I understand there are those who argue that there are not enough welcome signs. In other words, in heaven there's a cash register, and there's a certain amount of welcome signs that have to be up, and as soon as you hit the magic number, ding, then we have already finished the job of being ready to be Mekabel Panei Mashiach Tzidkenu Mepeil Mamash. I suspect this is not the case, although I'm not privy to the heavenly workings, but just from reading a little further on in the Sicha, we get what happens when you take out one line of a Sicha without seeing further on, you can develop certain mistaken ideas. If you look further on in the Sicha, the Rebbe actually asks the question. The Rebbe says, how does one prepare oneself and the entire world to be Mekabel Panei Mashiach Tzidkenu Mepeil Mamash? And the Rebbe says, surprisingly enough, the Rebbe does not mention signs, although again, I certainly have one on my door, and I'm not in any way, chas v'shalom, trying to negate this. I certainly have one, and I would encourage anyone else to have one, but I don't think that that's where it begins and ends. The point is, the Rebbe says, how does one go about doing this? And the Rebbe says that, surprise, surprise, but it's a pneumiastic of preparation. The Rebbe says, the way you prepare the Kabbal Panei Mashiach Tzidkenu Mepeil Mamash is through learning with yourself and others, in Yanei Mashiach Gula, in a way of Chachma, Bina, and Das, bringing that down into the bringing from the Meichen of Chachma Bina Das, bringing it down into the Midas of Chesed, Gvura, Teferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus, and from there into Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa, that all of one's activities should be permeated and filled with the awareness of Mashiach. So clearly, the job of standing at the ready, although if you just take the simple statement, stand at the ready to greet Mashiach Tzidkenu, if you take it superficially, it seems relatively simple matter. But when you look a little deeper into the subject, into what the Rebbe himself has to say about how this preparation is accomplished, the Rebbe talks about learning in Yanei Mashiach Geula in a way of Chachma Bina Das, bringing that down into one's emotional faculties, from there to thought, speech, and action, which should be fully permeated with the awareness and the consciousness of Mashiach and Geula. Clearly, something which requires a great deal of effort, which would explain why it took years to actually even develop in terms of being revealed to us what our job is. And sadly to say, it has taken many years so far to get us to this point. So clearly it's a somewhat demanding task and requires a great deal of effort, because we know, but the problem that many people have is the reason why many people like to grab onto the more superficial understanding of the basic statement, stand at the ready to greet Mashiach Tzidkenu, the Mepeil Mamash. And the reason why people are willing to settle for more superficial type of activities such as being satisfied only with making signs and the like, or convincing others to make signs as well, is not so much because people are lazy, but more because people feel out of their depths. As soon as you start talking words like Chachma, Bina, Das, Meichin, Midas, Machshava, Diba, Maisa, people's internal defense system goes up. It's too high for me, it's too spiritual for me, it's too much for me. Tell me something simple. What can I do to bring Mashiach? You start talking Chachma Bina Das. Chachma Bina Das is out of my league. I don't know. You know what I mean? I can go to a shir once a week. I can hear a speech for an hour. But you know what I mean? Chachma Bina Das. So the question is, so when people hear these things, they are intimidated by it. And what happens when people encounter things which intimidate them, often what people do is they just avoid the whole thing entirely. And of course, we're talking about people who have good intentions and want to do the right thing. We're not, God forbid, talking about people who don't want to do the right thing. So what happens is we find other ways to be yetzer, our obligation to do something, but when it comes to tackling Chachma, Bina, and Das, we kind of all find some other important activity to do, or find some other sikha to quote, which will enable us to avoid things which are somewhat overwhelming for us. But the truth is that Chachma Bina Das, like anything else, is really not all that terrifying. It's really not all that intimidating. It's really not all that scary. It's really, like everything else, what it means is use your brain and use your heart and thought, speech, and action, which we use all the time anyway. Okay? We're not talking about using things that you don't ordinarily use. We're talking about using parts of your internal makeup which you use all the time anyway. The question is, how do you use them? Okay, you're using your Chachma Bina Das all the time. Even if we strip away the fancy Kabbalistic and Hasidic terminology, basically you do use your mind all the time, hopefully. And one does use one's emotions all the time. And one does think usually all the time, and talk hopefully not all the time, and act a great deal of the time. So we use these things anyway. Preparing ourselves for Mashiach obviously means using them in a somewhat different way than we're used to using them. It doesn't mean that you have to become this tremendous scholar overnight, and you have to become, you know, you have to learn 20 hours a day and so on and so forth. I mean, obviously the more the better. But what it means is that whatever you do, you have to take Inyani Mashiach HaGaula and internalize it. Now, how does one... So now we need to understand two things. First of all, what does it mean to be Mekabel? What does it mean to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu V'Peil Mamash, that requires all this preparation, that requires this whole internal change? You would think that being Mekabel Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu is a simple enough thing. Mashiach walks in the door, you walk over and you say, hello. So, I'm here to greet you. So clearly that there's something more to the words to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu V'Peil Mamash than just to walk over to Mashiach when he arrives and say, hello. So the question is, what is that? And the second thing is, how does one go about making the internal shift and change in order to be able to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu V'Peil Mamash? So, to simplify things, to make it as simple and as unfrightening and unintimidating as possible, basically, what it means to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu V'Peil Mamash is the term to be Mekabel in Chassidus has a somewhat, because obviously we're talking about a deeper internal process. We're not talking about a superficial greeting. We're talking about a deeper internal process, a Kabbalah, a receiving. So we have to understand how Chassidus defines the term to be Mekabel. For instance, we find a halacha that says that Chayav Adam Lekabel is Pnei Rabbi Beregel. Same exact terminology, Lekabel Pnei Rabbi, same as being Mekabel Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu. There's an obligation for a person to be mekavel p'nei rabbi b'regel. A person is obligated to go on the three yamim tevim. Now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, one is obligated to go to one's Rebbe on the regalim, of which there are three: Sukkot, Pesach, and Shavuos. So, what does it mean, lekavel p'nei rabbi b'regel? Obviously, the literal meaning is to go and see him. That is the literal meaning of lekavel p'nei rabbi b'regel. And then there is the Hasidic definition of what it means to be lekavel p'nei rabbi b'regel. Lekavel p'nei rabbi b'regel in Hasidus means, lekavel means to receive, to internalize. That is the definition of Kabbalah in Hasidus. To internalize. P'nei, the Hasidic definition of the word p'nei is the p'nimius of, the literal meaning is to greet his face. And the Hasidic meaning is to internalize the p'nimius of one's teacher on Yom. In other words, just like a Jew went to the Beis HaMikdash three times a year in order to see God. Okay? So he went to the Beis HaMikdash. What did he see? He saw a building made out of stones. Okay? So when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, what you see is a building. The point of coming to the Beis HaMikdash is not just to see a building, and not just to see people running around slaughtering animals and sprinkling blood all over the place. That's not what you came to see. That's what you see superficially. The point of coming to the Beis HaMikdash was to see and be seen by God. That's the point of the Beis of coming to the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, very simply put, the pasuk says you came to see God. To come to see God means to take the panemius of the Beis HaMikdash. The chetzenius of the Beis HaMikdash is a building made out of stone, with people running around slaughtering animals and sprinkling blood and burning them up. The panemius of what the Beis HaMikdash is about is the godly revelation in the Beis HaMikdash. So when we talk about going to see one's Rebbe on Yom Tov, we're not just saying going to see one's Rebbe to say L'chaim, to maybe get a little Shirayim or sing a niggun. What we're talking about, L'kav p'nei rabbi b'regel, means what's the point of going to your Rebbe on Yom Tov? That godly revelation which you can no longer experience in the Beis HaMikdash, now you come to your Rebbe to take and to receive and to internalize the panemius of your Rebbe, which is the godly revelation which is within the Rebbe. You're not coming just to be by the Rebbe and celebrate Yom Tov together. The idea of lekavel p'nei rabbi b'regel means to come and receive and internalize the godly revelation that is contained within one's Rebbe. So what it means is that it depends how you come. So the question is, what is the difference between someone who comes, how does a person become the type of person that when he comes to the Beis HaMikdash, he sees godliness instead of just seeing a building made out of stone? How is it, and the similar question, how does one come to see one's Rebbe on Yom Tov, and instead of seeing a saintly old man with a white beard and twinkly eyes, he sees godliness? How does one take the panemius of one's Rebbe? I have physical eyes. I come, what do I see? I see a human being. I see a human being who talks, who sings, who encourages us to sing, who gives blessings. But what I see, ultimately, what my eyes see, is a human being. How do I look past the stones and the blood and gore of the Beis HaMikdash to see godliness? And how do I look past the superficial physical being of my Rebbe to see godliness? And the answer is in the preparation. The way that I could encounter the same exact situation, and I will experience the same situation differently based on how I prepared myself for that situation. If I prepare myself by learning and understanding and contemplating on what is it ever, and what is my purpose of traveling to the devil, and what is it that the Rebbe is able to communicate to me? And what could I do to make myself more receptive to what the Rebbe has to communicate to me? So when I make the proper preparations, so then I could come to the same place and see the same thing and have a totally different experience. The Rebbe once said by a Fabrengen, somebody mentioned L'chaim. So the Rebbe said, for those who aren't here, who couldn't come. So the Rebbe answered L'chaim to those who are here, L'chaim to those who aren't here, who couldn't come, and L'chaim to those who are here, but they still haven't arrived yet. In other words, you could be here, sitting by a Fabrengen, sitting in front of the Rebbe, on Yom Tov, and you still haven't arrived yet. You're not here. Because you missed the boat. You didn't come adequately prepared. You're not adequately prepared for the experience. So what you see is just the externals, and you missed out on what coming to a Rebbe on Yom Tov is all about, which is to be mekabel the pnimius of the Rebbe, the pnimius of the Rebbe being the godliness which the Rebbe transmits and communicates to us. Similarly, when we're talking about being mekabel pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu b'peilman, the Hasidic understanding of this term, which is clear, that this is the way we have to understand it, based on how the Rebbe describes the preparation. If l'kabel p'nei Mashiach Tzidkenu meant the superficial explanation, just to say hello and see his face when he comes, to say hello and see his face when he comes, doesn't require significant internal preparation. But obviously, the way to understand the Kabbalah of Neim Hashem Tzidkenu B'Peil Mamash is the deeper Hasidic understanding, which is in order to be Mekabel, to receive, to internalize the Pnimius of what Mashiach is about. How do we internalize the Pnimius of anything? Through Torah. That is how, as it says, that anything, everything in the world starts from Torah. So if you're going to internalize the revelation of Mashiach, you could experience the revelation of Mashiach and totally miss the boat. Just like you can go to the Beis HaMikdash and miss the experience. You can go to a Rebbe and miss the experience. You could also be around by the revelation of Mashiach and also miss the whole experience because you're not adequately prepared. And just like actually it's even brought a Chassidus that you could be in Gan Eden and miss the experience because you're not adequately prepared. The Mittler ever said on the Shamas that are 500 years in Gan Eden who have absolutely no idea what is going on there. 500 years in Gan Eden, obviously they learned Torah, they did mitzvahs, they have absolutely no idea what's going on in Gan Eden. Why? Because Gan Eden is a place of godly revelation. And if you didn't prepare yourself adequately for godly revelation, you did learn Torah and do mitzvahs, so therefore you deserve your reward, so we give you a good seat. But you're a good seat at a show which you have no idea what's going on because you didn't prepare for it. The neshama only gets what it prepared for in this world. And if the neshama is not adequately prepared, the Alter Rebbe says clearly in Lakuta Torah that the neshamas that are in Gan Eden and don't know what's going on. The Mittler Rebbe said, believe me, the neshamas that are over 500 years in Gan Eden and still have no idea what's flying. So you could be around and you may see Mashiach, you could see the revelation of Mashiach, you can see Mashiach in front of you and he can tell you all kinds of wonderful things and you can miss the whole experience. Why? Because you're not prepared for it. Because you're not a keli to be mekabel p'nei Mashiach tzidkenu b'peil mamash, because you're not ready for it. You haven't prepared yourself. Now, so how does one prepare oneself? Obviously, to prepare yourself for an experience, you have to prepare yourself intellectually. For lack of, I know it's a long word, if someone knows a shorter word, you have to prepare yourself in your mind, okay? And you have to prepare your heart for the experience, okay? Because if your mind is distracted and your mind is somewhere else, so you could be present at an event, and if your mind is not there, if your mind is distracted, you can miss the whole event because your mind is not there. The same thing emotionally. You can be at an event and your mind is working, but if your heart is not in the right place, again, you're not adequately prepared for the event. You could be there, it happens, you witnessed it, very nice, and it still didn't affect you because you were not prepared. So obviously, when you want to prepare yourself for an experience, when you want to prepare yourself for an event which is supposed to have a deeper impact on you than just a regular sound and light show. So we're talking about a deep experience. Obviously, for a deep experience, you have to prepare your mind and you have to prepare your heart. Now, in addition to preparing your mind and your heart, in Jewish life, in order to prepare yourself for a deep Jewish experience, you also have to not only prepare your mind and your heart, you also have to prepare in thought, speech, and action. Because, as it's explained in Chassidus, that the means through which the neshama connects to that which is higher than itself is through thought, speech, and action, through the levushim of the neshama, which are higher than the neshama itself. So in order for us to adequately open ourselves up to a very profound Jewish experience, we need to prepare our minds, we need to prepare our hearts, and together with the preparation of mind and heart, we also have to make some adjustments in our thoughts, in our speech, and in our actions. So the question is, how does one go about changing one's mind and one's heart? About this. And certainly, how does one go about changing one's mind and one's heart in preparation for the ultimate revelation of Mashiach? Now, the answer is the way you would change your mind and your heart for anything else. The way you change your mind and your heart for anything is that whatever the experience might be, if you want to prepare yourself for any experience properly, the way you prepare your mind is by trying to understand the significance of that experience in advance of the experience. Okay? That's how you prepare your mind. Trying to understand what is the ultimate significance of this experience. Once you have an understanding and appreciation of what the significance of the experience is, then you actually can relate. Now your emotion, now you can bring yourself to a point where you're eagerly anticipating the experience, and you're emotionally keyed up because you want to experience that experience, and you want to avoid anything that would, God forbid, weaken or adversely affect that experience. So therefore, every one of your emotions ultimately come into play in anticipation of and in preparation for that experience. That's how we work as human beings. Okay, it's not really such a mysterious process. The process, what's mysterious about Chassidus is not the process. It's what you have to process. But the process itself is not particularly mystical. The process itself is extremely practical, even though the terminology might be a little bit mystical. If you want to change your mind, you have to use your mind and open up your mind to new ideas, expose your mind to new ideas, learn and try to understand the significance of the experience that you are preparing in anticipation for. Not just learn it in a dispassionate, cold, and removed way, but actually try to relate to it emotionally and look forward to it and anticipate it and actually start doing things. Since you are now in a state of eager anticipation for this momentous event for which you are preparing to start doing things in anticipation of that event. So, and this is something that Jews do all the time. Okay? If you're anticipating any Yom Tov or any, you have to obviously start thinking about, okay, if you're a housewife and you're getting ready for Pesach. You're getting ready for Pesach. So as soon as you put away the bamboos from the sukkah, right, you start thinking about Pesach. You start thinking about Pesach. So you start thinking about, in other words, when you start thinking about it, and you start thinking about what it entails, I'm just from the purely superficial point of view, I'm not talking about spiritual problems. You start thinking about what it entails, how many people you expect that to say the What the condition of the house is currently, what it's going to take to get the house into shape, what it's going to take to stock the freezer for Pesach. So you start thinking in advance, and either you look, and when you start thinking about it, what happens is, you respond emotionally. Either you're looking forward with eager anticipation, or you're dreading it with trepidation, however the case may be. But either way, you develop an emotional response. Once you develop the emotional response, you could do one of two things. If you're looking forward in eager anticipation, you could start working after Hanukkah to prepare for Pesach. If you look forward to it with great trepidation, you might push it off till after Purim. But either way, depending on your thoughts, your speech, and your action, will be affected by how you relate to the upcoming event. So what the Rebbe is saying is that if you want to prepare to be Mekabel Panei Mashiach Tzidkenu B'Peyoma, we're now living in a time, in other words, our job is not to correct the problems of the past. We've completed that job. That process of fixing the past was fully finished and completed by Chaf Beis Shvat Tav Shin Mem Ches. Chaf Beis Shvat is the turning point. It's a turning point from correcting the past in anticipation of the future, or completely focusing all our efforts in anticipation of the future, knowing that whatever was past, whatever we were sent to accomplish, has been done. Our job as the last generation of exile has already been completed, and now we're supposed to get to work on fulfilling our role as the first generation of Gula. Fulfilling our role as the first generation of Gula means preparing oneself, not just oneself, but as the Rebbe says, oneself, one's family, one's city, and ultimately the entire world. Because, again, any good housewife who's starting to think about Pesach as soon as the sukkah is put away doesn't just think of keep it to herself. She starts reminding everyone in the family not to bring crumbs into the other rooms. Not to, in other words, it's something that when you're involved and preparing for, so your whoever's in your sphere of influence, okay, when someone is anticipating and preparing for a simcha, we should only know from simchas, someone is involved in anticipating and preparing for a chasm. So everyone in their immediate environment gets caught up in the activities, in the excitement, of the chasana. And it doesn't matter who it is. Even people who have a peripheral connection, not just the immediate family, and not just your close friends and acquaintances, but anyone who you encounter. It's a mazel tov. We're getting ready. This, that. First thing, how's it going? How's the preparations? And these are things where the preparations are completely external. How much more so when you're talking about something which requires internal preparation. Something which requires internal preparations, which means that one has to fill one's mind and one's heart by learning in Yanei Mashiach HaGeula in a way of Chachma Bina Das, meaning that sometimes we learn things because we want to be a good mitzvah boy or a good mitzvah girl. And you're supposed to learn, so we want to do a mitzvah and we learn. But here what we're talking about is we're not talking about just doing a mitzvah and learning. We're talking about learning things in a way that they relate to you, that they're relevant to you because you're preparing for that. In other words, you could sit and learn a person who goes to a shir and they talk about a shir about the minhagim of a chasana. Very nice. But if you're preparing for a chasana, if you have a chasana coming up in your family, that same shir will have a whole different impact on you. Why? Because it's the subject that you're involved in. This is what you're busy with. This is what's on your mind. This is what you're getting excited about. So you know. So that's what's going to be on your mind. If somebody tells you that there's a shir in practical halachas of preparation for Pesach in the middle of Elul, if there's no other shir to go to, you might intend, but you're not really going to be that involved in it because it's not as immediately relevant. But if things are coming apart in your house and such a shir is offered 2 weeks before Pesach and you attend such a shir, obviously you will have much more immediate relevance and significance, and you won't just be going and attending to be yaitza. You'll be very involved. You'll be asking questions and you want to know more, you want to understand better, and you want to have greater clarity because it relates to you and your immediate situation. So the Rebbe says that Mashiach, the preparation for Mashiach, has to become our most immediate concern. It has to be our most immediate issue. It has to be what's on our minds. And if it's what's on our minds, then it's what we're preparing for. And not preparing superficially, but preparing internally to experience a very profound and deep godly experience. So if this is what's on our mind, and this is what we're involved in, so this is what we're supposed to be learning, because it is timely, not just because it's a good thing to do, but because it's timely and relevant and necessary in order to be able to fully prepare and anticipate and appreciate the revelation of Mashiach Tzidkenu. So, as we prepare for Chav Pei Shvat, and certainly on the day of Chav Pei Shvat itself, which is the day of that transition, we have to internally in our own minds make the transition from being people who are just either dealing with crises of Golus as they come up, whether in our personal lives or in the world around us, to people who are focused on and directed towards the future not as something in the far off distance, but the future as something that is immediate and relevant and the call of the hour. We have to make that internal transition in our focus. What are we about? What are we working towards? What is our top priority? What is our main issue in life? And when that becomes our top priority, and that is our main issue, we know, as in everything else, that the way to prepare for something which is of supreme importance is to go and understand the way that event or issue is discussed in Torah, but to learn it in a way that relates to us, in a way of Chachma, Bina, and Das, which, as we said before, as mystical as it sounds, basically means learning it in a way that it's something that relates to you personally, that you can really understand and appreciate and relate to. And when you learn it in such a way, then you bring it down into your emotions, that you actually respond emotionally to it, and start getting excited and eagerly anticipate the upcoming event. And of course, make the proper adjustments in one's thoughts, speech, and action, as anyone who is eagerly anticipating and looking forward to any event of significance will make those adjustments. So, like we said, now is the time. This is the call of the hour. This is the way one prepares oneself, one's family, one's city, and ultimately the entire world. We should talk to Bizecha that through our commitment to make the transition and to do the preparations, that the Eivishter doesn't wait until we fully, completely prepared, and the very fact that we make the proper achlotas and commitments should be enough, and we should Bizecha to the fullest galas, Melech HaMashiach, take it from Yad Lash.